Illinois and North Carolina face off tonight in the NCAA championships. Along with other devoted fans, our critic at large, John Powers, will be watching.
I first got hooked on the NCAA basketball tournament when I was a kid. Although we lived in Omaha, I always rooted for UCLA's fabled dynasty. Except once, in 1969. That year, my dad's alma mater, Drake University, would have upset them in the semis if the crooked refs hadn't handed the game to the more famous team. As you can tell, I'm still bitter. Of course, back then, the tournament never seemed like that big a deal. Although American culture had much less media, believe it or not, children, there were only three TV networks. Nobody talked about March Madness. These days, the term is a name brand, and the tournament may be the competition that sports fans love the most. But not only fans. When Illinois scored its epical last-minute comeback against Arizona 2 weekends ago, everyone I knew was excited, from my mother in a Des Moines hospice to my hip L.A. food critic friend who was mad at his wife for telling him to turn off the game with 4 minutes to go. Even though we now live in a big-box culture, which lets us pursue our individual pleasures, be it video games, obscure art movies, or TV networks devoted solely to food, the NCAA tournament has become something that binds America together. I know that may sound crazy, but these days a lot of Americans find their community in pop culture. People throw parties for the Super Bowl, a game they don't really care about. They stand around water coolers discussing The Sopranos or Desperate Housewives. And along with everyone else, they rush to blockbusters like Spider-Man or the new Star Wars. You gotta be there on the first day, Quentin Tarantino once told me. That's part of the point. Now, nearly all of these things are, frankly, manufactured events designed to make money. But part of the allure of pop culture is that sometimes it manages to transcend its commercial origins and inspire genuine feeling, including feelings of community. That happened a few years ago when that overblown talent contest, American Idol, suddenly unleashed an authentic emotional groundswell for Clay Aiken, a passion that bound together millions into a community that actually changed the show. This same passion runs through March Madness. Only a fool would think that the tournament is pure. Big-time college sports are more about money than education, and you'll hear cynics say that most Americans only care about the tournament because it's a pretext for all those office pools. Yet those pools are really less about gambling than giving people in the office something in common. And though surrounded by money, the tournament itself miraculously transcends all the greed and intellectual corruption that surrounds it. It brings together teams from all over the country. This is a genuinely national event. And it gives small schools their shot at the big guys. Even better, the games are played by kids of 19 or 20 with all the heady emotion and lack of perspective this suggests. The games possess an erratic exuberance that almost guarantees unpredictability. Kansas losing to Bucknell? The Elite Eight 2 weekends ago offered 3 overtime games and was a marvel of blown leads, heroic comebacks, buzzer-beating shots, and agonizing last-second misses. They reminded me that what I've always loved about sports and what makes it different from other parts of pop culture. It's wholly unscripted. You actually have to play the game. When the final buzzer goes off tonight, the champions will leap in joy, while some of the losers will weep, overcome by sorrow. And I'll be watching, aware that millions of Americans all over the country are doing the same thing. We're part of a community, however temporary. T.S. Eliot once said that TV is a medium that lets millions of people watch the same show and still remain lonesome.